want to talk once again about something which I haven't touched on that much here on Spirit FM, and that is our current sexual revolution going on in our culture. I thought we had a sexual revolution. Didn't we have this thing in the 60s and it all continued on? That's where I grew up, in the 70s and 80s. And it was kind of just do what you want, throw off the restraints. Amazing, when I became a Christian, immediately I knew I couldn't participate in that lifestyle. I was going to be chaste and moral. And how did I know that? Well, I because the Spirit of God came into me. I didn't reason it out. I just knew all of a sudden. And it's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God lives within you. Temple means a holy of holies of the Spirit of God. Like the holy of holies in the temple in Jerusalem, or the tabernacle where the glory of God would show up. The Spirit of God comes in. He came into me, and immediately I changed my behavior. I wasn't immoral anymore. Well, you know, the sexual revolution is morphed, and now it's got everything to do with the LGBTQIA movement. I think that's what it is now. I'm not sure. They keep adding letters to it for something else. And the big deal on the transgender thing, and, you know, most of us are just scratching our heads. What on earth is going on now? And the main word I guess I can say is, let us do whatever we feel like and be whatever we feel like and affirm us while we're doing it. Well, yeah. What's LGBTQIA stand for? I've got to read this because I have no idea what it is myself. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, intersex, and allies. All of that together. That's the new sexual revolution that's underway right now. And what do we think about all this? You know, what do you do as a Christian? Well, let me just say, for context's sake, that right in Paul the Apostle's time, he's writing to the Corinthians, and, you know, he's writing into the Greek culture and the Roman culture, and unlike Jewish culture, these other ones are just like us. They do everything, anything and everything they want sexually, they're doing. And so the church here in Corinthians is not any different than being the church now. In fact, it was probably, we're still more straight-laced as a culture than their culture was. Theirs was just cut right loose with immorality. And what does he say? He says, something different about you people. As a Christian, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know this? You're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. So glorify God in your bodies, he says. That's what happened to me. When I became a Christian, I knew that I knew that I knew. I'm not my own anymore. I belong to Jesus Christ. It wasn't like I'm reasoning about. It was like an immediate apparent reality, supernatural event took place in me. And it was like, I knew I was different than I had been before. And I knew what God meant for me to be. And I wasn't going to be what I was before. And my behavior completely changed. Now, the rest of my family all came to Christ because they saw me change so much. That's how it worked. And part of the change was moral. Paul the Apostle makes it pretty clear. When you become a Christian, you're not the same as you were. And Fascinating stuff when you think about it. Because we are profoundly different if we really belong to Christ. And then he admonishes, Paul admonishes the Corinthians, now live this way because your sexuality is sacred to God. It's holy unto the Lord. Your body is a holy temple to God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says, if anyone defiles, or it says destroy in some translations, but the word is to defile, to misuse, to abuse the use of God's temple, God will defile him. In other words, your body and your sexuality is meant to be holy to the Lord, and if you misuse and abuse it, it will result in a backlash on you in your abuse. And he goes on to explain that a couple chapters later in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and join them to a prostitute? And that was one of their problems going on, especially temple prostitutes. You see, that's, you know, they can you imagine going to worship your God and that's what you do? That's what they're up to. And he says this, don't you know that anyone that joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? So he says the two become one flesh. So what is it saying? It's saying that's a misuse of your body as the temple of the Lord. He goes in verse 17, he who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. You are, as a Christian, one spirit now with the Holy Spirit who lives in you, which is what makes your body temple of God and holy to the Lord. How did it get holy to the Lord? Because the blood of Jesus cleansed you of all sin, and you got to keep it that way. And how does defiling that temple backlash onto you to defile you? Misusing it creates a misuse back in you. He says this, every sin which a man commits is outside of his body, but immorality, a man sins against his own body. Yeah, you do damage to yourself, emotionally, physically, anything, you know, that's what happens. That's what happens. Now, you know, we're in the middle of a crazy cultural time right now where really people are just trying to throw off every restraint and give free rein to do whatever they feel like doing. That's more or less what it is. And a lot of confusion. That's for sure. I was looking here at a news article from CBN News on Harvard University fact sheet that teaches students how to fight transphobia and this purports to teach them what gender really is, that it's a social construct that can change anytime you want. Now that's interesting. Because on one hand they say, you know, you're locked in. On the other hand, you can change it anytime you want. And apparently what's going on here, at least according to Peter Van Voorhis, campus correspondent, is that students can't even understand what this is about. He says, and they're fighting back, wanting to promote truth in the campus. And kind of crazy things are going on. For example, in this this instructional sheet to the students, it says that gender, of course, not the same as your sex assigned at birth. Was it assigned? That is what you are physically. But, you know, kind of a head scratcher, isn't it? You know, the American Psychological Association has come out against all of this stuff quite clearly and done studies over the last 25 years about it. But that's being ignored, the actual medical research and psychological research being ignored. But what they're saying here is that gender is fluid and changing, can be expressed differently depending on the day. That's from Harvard University's fact sheet. Now, here's the thing. That just sort of means do whatever you feel like today, doesn't it? And you go on to read, you could read their fact sheet and all that on the internet if you want to. I'm not going to get into that. What I'm just saying is that that's the culture. That's what we're in. But you as a Christian, you've had a supernatural transformation and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Treat it that way. Somebody asked me and said, Terry, you know, how do you feel about gays and lesbians? How do you feel about transgender and all this? And I've got to say, God loves them. I have some in my relatives. We love them. They're family. Now, I haven't had to, you know, walk through some of the issues with them because they're, you know, extended family. They're not in my siblings or anything, but we love them. But Jesus died for them too. They need a Savior, just like I needed a Savior. That's the reality of the world. What's the difference? We need to pray. God wants people to be saved. Jesus died for every sort of person, regardless. And so, yeah, that's my attitude. Father, fill me full of your love for people, regardless of what they do. Can we love an Islamic terrorist? God loves them. Jesus died for them. Be like the Apostle Paul got turned around, murdering Christians. You see what I'm saying? But for you and me, as believers in Christ, we're called to a life where sexuality is holy, it's sacred, it's awesome. Now, the positive side of all that is if we treat sexuality in our lives as holy, then something awesome takes place because the benefits, the goodness, the grace, the power of God and the Holy Spirit that's in us can flow through that sacred part of our life that we've treated as holy. Now, I've got to say to this, to folks out there, people that are not believers in Christ would not understand this. But when you couple your relationship to your husband or wife with the holiness of sexuality, with the presence and working of the Holy Spirit, you have something awesome. It's the way God meant it to be. Now let me just close with this word for believers out there who, and I've had to instruct when I was a pastor at church, become Christians, I've had to teach them to walk right with God. Because culture didn't teach them what was right. If you are not treating sexuality as sacred to the Lord, He says to you, turn now, repent, set things right. And guess what? You'll get blessed. Because the flow of God can come into your whole life. Not be cut off from that part that you treat as profane, common, ordinary. It's not ordinary anymore. You're not ordinary anymore. You, dear believer, have now got a body that is holy unto the Lord, a temple of His own Spirit. Everything is different. praise God. Now I pray, Lord, give revelation to my listeners today and help them to instruct others in this. And go to 1 Corinthians 6. Start at verse 12. And see what the Lord says. You'll be blessed in Jesus' name.